Good morning.
Good morning.
Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we come before you, considering these words of Paul. Father God, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. Give us eyes to see what you have before us. We know that your word is good. We know that your word is powerful. We know that your word accomplishes what you set forth for it to accomplish. Let it accomplish what you have, Father. Guide me, direct me, help me, lift me, encourage me. Speak through me. May these be your words and not mine. Break my heart, Father. Humble me. May I be small. But may your word be bold. May it be powerful. Do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I charge you solemnly in the presence before the very face of God, even Christ Jesus, who is about to judge the living and the dead in his imminent appearing, his kingdom. Preach the word. You are a herald, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove. Be ready in season and out of season to rebuke. Be ready in season and out of season to exhort. Always, continually, in great, perfect, and complete patience and faithful teaching. Why? There's two reasons. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears or wanting their ears tickled. That counterfeit joy of tickling. As soon as you stop tickling, it goes away. It's not real joy. It's not lasting. It doesn't endure. But they want their ears to be tickled, and they will accumulate. You see that? It's not the word going out and penetrating. It's people collecting what they want to hear. They will not endure sound teaching, but having these itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves, these lovers of self, teachers to suit their own passions. They want the buffet. They don't want the banquet of the word. They want to pick and choose. And they will turn away. They will be haughty. They will be arrogant. They will not tremble before the word. They will turn away from listening to the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they will wander off or be turned over to myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, steady, stable, solid. Be trembling, Timothy. Be fearful, Timothy. Be humble. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You have been charged before God. That's the setup. So the first reason was people are not going to want to hear this teaching. They're going to turn away from the truth. They're going to go after their own passions. And the second reason is, I'm being poured out. I'm departing. I'm leaving. Preach the word, Timothy, because people need it, and I'm not going to be here to do it. For I am already being poured out. This is the present tense. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, past tense. I have finished the race, past tense. I have kept the faith, past tense. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, future tense, looking ahead, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. I am already being poured out. Man, I've been thinking about this all week. I went into this text. My prayer early this week was for God to break my heart. I'm thinking of Paul being poured out. It's a grisly thought. He's going to be beheaded. I mean, there's a literalness to this that I won't go into. You can imagine this sense of being alone in this dungeon, 3 decades of service to God, and he's about to be poured out. Let's turn to Philippians to get a sense of where Paul's head's at. So we go to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to cherry pick a little bit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And if you look across the page to verse 19, Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to take just the end of verse 18. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, for which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. We have here Paul looking forward to this departure. And he says the time has now come for that departure. In chapter 2 of Philippians, if you turn over in my Bible anyway, pick up in verse 12. Notice some of the same language here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We should tremble before the word. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So as I sought to have my heart broken and get in the mindset of Paul, I realize I've kind of departed from where his head is at. Whereas I'm sure that there's sadness, I'm sure there's grieving, I'm sure there's pain, I'm sure there's angst, there's a celebration happening here as he's to be poured out. This is his calling. This is the completion of his sacrificial giving for his life. I think of Jesus poured out in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. I think of my blood of the covenant poured out for many in Matthew 26. I think of David even, who, when the mighty men went and fetched him some water, poured it out instead of drinking it in 2 Samuel chapter 23. But what Paul's referring to here is the drink offering offered at the end of the sacrifice. If you look at Numbers 27, it lays it out nicely. We have kind of two things happening. We have the passing of the baton at the end of Numbers 27, and then in Numbers 28 and 29, we have all of these offerings, and there's a certain pattern here. I'll read the succession of Moses. Numbers 27, starting with verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, go up into this mountain of Abiram and see the land that I have given to the people of Israel. When you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin, when the congregation quarreled, failing to uphold me as holy at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, listen to this. This is Moses speaking to the Lord. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him. the whole congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. You see the succession. And here we have Paul passing the baton to Timothy. And if you go to the next verse, chapter 28, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the people of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food, for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer me at its appointed time. And this is what Paul's referring to, this drink offering. So if you just kind of scan through, you have the daily offerings where there's a burnt offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering. Then you have the Sabbath or the weekly offerings. There's a burnt offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering, ending with a drink offering. The monthly offerings, guess what? You have a burnt offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering, a Passover offering, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a drink offering, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the offerings for the Day of Atonement, the offerings for the Feast of Booths. In the Feast of Booths, there's 8 days of this. You have a burnt offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering. The burnt offering, they take a life, whether it be a lamb, a goat, a bull, depending on which offering we're talking about. You take a life. And the grain offering, it's interesting, fine flour. So you take a seed, you take seeds, you crush them. Sound familiar? You sift them. Sound familiar? You purify them. Sound familiar? So life is given and a grain is crushed. And then it's mixed with oil. And it's given as an offering to the Lord. And finally, you have this drink offering, a strong drink, alcohol, celebration. We are saved through the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. We are justified, saved from the penalty of sin. We are being sanctified, saved from the power of sin through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And one day, there will be that drink offering where we can celebrate as we are glorified. We are saved from the presence of sin. And I think that this is where Paul's head's at. He says, the time or the kairos, the season of my departure has come. Remember that? The in season, out of season, preach the word. There's coming a season where people don't want to hear. And here we have the season is upon us now of Paul's departure. This word departure is the same word to pull up tent stakes. Paul was a tent maker. To pull up anchor and to bark, Paul was a sailor. To unclasp the shackles, Paul was a prisoner. And to unyoke the animal or the oxen, and Paul was a workhorse. This is freedom. He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. This brings us back to chapter 2, the suffer as a good soldier. Jesus told Paul that he would suffer. And it's a fight, it's a struggle, it's a contest. We know who wins in the end, but we struggle through it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have an enemy, and it's a good fight. The cause of Christ, it's a high and holy calling. It's a fight worth fighting. And I wonder Is there any other fight that's actually worth fighting? Is there any other cause besides the cause of Christ that has any value? I mean, at the end of the day, Paul's being poured out. At the end of the day, when Nathan's poured out, which parts even matter? Does my what I accumulated matter? The things that I did in my own self-righteousness, do those matter? I don't know. And there's certainly unrighteous causes, evil causes that we participate in foolishly from time to time. But the good fight, the cause of Christ, is a high and holy calling. It's a fight worth fighting. He says, I have finished the race. Reminds us of the disciplined athlete in chapter 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul is there at the finish of his race. There's an interesting little side note. I don't know if this is true, but some of the history books have Nero participating in a chariot race where his chariot broke. I guess he was a fan of those things and he participated in the Olympics. And his chariot broke, but he declared himself the winner anyway. So perhaps a dig here at Nero. Paul finished his race and he kept the faith. He's a good steward of the faith. He guarded the faith. It's the same word that's used in chapter 1, verse 14, to guard the good deposit given to you, Timothy. It's the same word used to describe the good soil, those who receive the word and hold fast to it in Luke 8, 15. It's the same word that's used when Jesus rebukes those who say, blessed is the womb who gave birth to you and the breasts who fed you. He says, rather, blessed are those who keep the word. Hear the word and keep it. And also in John 17, the high priestly prayer. And I want to turn there. John chapter 17. Pay attention to the words guard and keep throughout here. Paul says, I have kept the faith. I've guarded. I've been a steward. I've held fast. John 17, I will start with verse 1. We all know the context here, the Last Supper. These are some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, or in the presence of his disciples. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Paul might have said, the time of my departure has come. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given me authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth. I have fought the good fight, Paul might say, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. I have finished the race, Paul might say. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And if you read in the end of Luke, you can see Judas was poured out in a different, grisly way. I'll spare you. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul, in a lesser way, following in Christ's footsteps. Verse 8, henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's laid up for Paul the crown of righteousness. Crown is Stephanos. It's an award. Could be a literal crown, might not be. This might be translated to the crown which is righteousness. I kind of lean that direction. James 1:12 talks about a crown of life and describes it being awarded in the same fashion for those who love God. The absence of sin. This treasure to be absent of sin. And it's a treasure laid up in heaven. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 19, this idea of laying up our treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, 19, I'll read through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Cannot have two masters. In Hebrews chapter 12, this running the race set before us, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he says, let's turn there real quick. So it's in verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Hebrews 12, 1. Every weight and sin. He doesn't say every weight even sin. I think the idea here is the weight and the sin are two separate things. Sin would be, in my mind, as I think of running a race, running off track. I mean, that's what it means, right? Missing the mark. You're supposed to be looking at forward, looking ahead to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And sinning would be veering off track. And every weight, you think of the baggage you bring with you. What's impeding that race? What's impeding that trek? What's impeding that walk? What's getting in the way? That's where my mind went. What's getting in the way? Where are my treasures laid up? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to award, and not only to Paul, but to Timothy too, and all who have loved his appearing. And I think nothing really sums that up better than Romans chapter 8. I know we're doing a lot of flipping around, but that's okay. Romans chapter 8, talking about our future glory. And in my mind, kind of centering on love. Whose are God's? Well, those who love him. Those who love him keep his commandments. And there's a future glory. I will read Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Imagine Paul reading this. Like if he had a copy of his own letter, right? For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free, unclasped, the tent stakes pulled up. Set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain freedom and the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Can you feel it, family? For in this hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to Paul and award to Timothy, to award to all those who love him, all those who are called according to his purpose. I will read 1 Timothy chapter 6 as a close in here. I'm going to start with verse 11. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, he's talking to Timothy, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I am humbled that you have entrusted it to me to give to your people. Father, I ask that you correct anything that I said in error, correct it in their hearing and in their memory. May your word and only your word bear fruit in their lives. Father, I ask that it bears fruit in my life. I ask that we think about when that time comes to be poured out. Where have our treasures been laid up? And where is our hope? We know that we cannot love two masters. So let us love you completely with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And as a testimony to love our neighbors as ourselves and the body, indwell with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.